If you were lucky enough to go to grade school between the mid-1940s and the mid-70s, you learned that life's most complex problems had oh-so-simple solutions. All you had to do was stand up straight, drink your milk, and change your underwear. That was some of the timeless advice dispensed by school film strips. More than just ribbons of celluloid, the film strips were pathways to enlightenment that began in darkened classrooms. Your guide often was a pre-recorded soundtrack with a... that told the teacher when to change frames. The golden age of film strips is revisited in a new book titled Change Your Underwear Twice a Week. Author Danny Gregory fondly recalls films with a wide range of topics, from Let's Meet the Butcher to South Americans Are Our Amigos.
We're being taught things that you wonder, why exactly were they teaching us that in school? There are film strips about how to stand in line. don't put pencils up your nose. Don't blast the radio too loud.
I think wasn't it what, don't put somebody else's pencil up your nose?
That's even more useful, yes.
Do you know what Mark is waiting for? Is it a ride on a pony or a rocket to the moon? No, he's waiting for the school bus to take him to school.
I'm looking at one of them, and it's the title in your book called Billy Gets Irradiated.
Kid goes to the doctor and he stands behind the fluoroscope, and I didn't really know what that was. And I found out that, you know, the fluoroscope is basically sort of a moving x-ray, and it turns out that that was a very common thing, that every single time you went to the doctor, you got a chest x-ray.
And some of these film strips, it was like, get that x-ray as often as possible.
Exactly. I mean, it turns out that fluoroscopes were so common that when you went to the shoe store to get your feet measured, you would get fluoroscoped.
Oh, God.
It's time for lunch. And we're all going to the school cafeteria. Eating lunch with your friends and classmates can be lots of fun. But there are some things to think about when you're eating with others.
Now, another big thing that carries through from the very first ones to the 70s is clean. One whole film strip is devoted to showing this boy who's dirty.
Yes, he's horribly dirty. He's sitting in the school cafeteria alone with kind of lines of stench radiating off him. And then this sort of multiracial clean team comes along and they zap him with some kind of a ray that makes him really tiny and microscopic. And together they all walk around on the surface of his skin. And then suddenly bars of soap rain down from the sky. And at the end he's clean and happy and everybody loves him and he has lots of friends.
Manners are helpful hints on the way everybody can live together easily. After all, if you lived all by yourself in a cave, you wouldn't have to mind your manners at all.
Film strips were also used for vocational training. A couple film strips in the book were designed really to help you figure out whether or not you wanted to become a welder or a metal worker. They sort of take you through descriptions of what those jobs were like, and you get to fill out a little card as you listen to say whether or not you thought you might be interested in doing that for a living. Do I like sparks? And am I interested in getting burned by things and whatever else it is that metal workers do?
Welder. One of the key jobs in metalworking is that of a welder. A welder joins metal parts by applying heat, pressure, or both to achieve a permanent bond.
Corporations, who were always interested in influencing young minds, would make film strips. Often there was a sort of a subtext to them. Make sure you eat a lot of butter and cream and peanuts.
There's one that says, are you a girl or boy who likes ice cream? It also is a dairy product.
There is a wonderful thing in your house. It lets you talk to your friends in the rain without getting wet. It lets you talk to someone far away without having to shout.
Hey, Louis!
I'm sure you've guessed what it is. It's your telephone.
Some of these filmmakers actually took courses in mass media and propaganda with Margaret Mead, the anthropologist.
Yeah, a lot of these guys who made film strips, they also worked for corporations and for the sort of the U.S. Information Service, making these sort of propaganda and training films for the government. And they certainly were aware of the power of visual communications and of propaganda.
The use of metals is rapidly increasing, especially in construction, manufacturing, and transportation industries. Growth in the use of metal has created many career opportunities for skilled and semi-skilled workers.
I remember one of my experiences was pretty exciting if the teacher set up the projector on your personal desk. Then you'd get to go and plug it in the dark, and then you got to sit there, and there was the sort of the light that came out of the back of the projector and it made that whirring noise. I just remember those kinds of things particularly vividly.
Do any of these film strips hold up? That is to say, one could watch them today, and it wouldn't be about nostalgia. It wouldn't be to laugh at them. They'd just be good stuff for kids today.
I have a 10-year-old son, and he's seen quite a few of these. I think he's a little bit bored by them. They don't have the kind of the pace and energy that he's used to. But I think the educational value of a lot of them is still valid. Mm. And I think the way fractions are described or the way electricity functions is still true. And the way that the book is structured, it's basically a complete education in a single book. You know, you go from learning what school is, you know, and I think if you sat down and read the book cover to cover, it would basically prepare you for the sixth grade.
In 1959.
Exactly.
Danny Gregory is author of Change Your Underwear Twice a Week, Lessons from the Golden Age of Classroom Film Strips. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.